Welcome to today's deep dive. Today you are looking at a 2006 structural blueprint from South Africa.
Right, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, or, you know, the MIG.
Yeah, the MIG. I mean, on paper, it's literally just a management procedures manual, which I know sounds incredibly dry.
Oh, totally. But in reality, it's this fascinating high-stakes tug-of-war. You've got power dynamics, massive budgets, and, well, social engineering that impacts millions of people.
Exactly. We are basically unpacking how a nation tries to systemize poverty alleviation, right? Delivering basic services like water and roads across hundreds of municipalities, but doing it without losing track of the funds.
And that's the real challenge, because
Right.
you have these national budgets colliding with very desperate local
You're
realities.
right. And to understand how this massive undertaking actually works, we first have to look at who, actually holds the purse strings.
Yeah, the institutional setup is key here.
I like to think of their decentralization strategy as well. It's like giving a teenager a corporate credit card.
Ah, that's a great way to put it.
Like, you want to empower them to make local decisions,
Right.
but you absolutely demand to see the receipts.
Exactly. So the local project management units, or PMUs, they're the ones actually managing the projects on the ground.
Okay.
But the national and provincial units keep this really tight grip through rigorous monthly reporting. It's all tied to something called the Division of Revenue Act.
Right, Doria.
Yeah, DORA. It legally binds the transfer of national tax revenue to strict local performance metrics.
So because headquarters demands those exact receipts, the money comes with some pretty specific non-negotiable conditions attached, right?
Oh, absolutely. Heavy strings attached. They call them cross-cutting conditions.
But wait, if a town desperately needs, say, a clean water system, does forcing them to comply with all these heavy secondary conditions just bottleneck the urgent delivery?
That is the big question.
Like, is the red tape literally stopping the pipes from being laid?
Well, you have to look at it from the policy's perspective. It's both brilliant and a massive burden. Take the Expanded Public Works Program, for example.
The EPWP.
Right. Under these rules, municipalities can't always just, hire a corporate contractor to bring in heavy machinery and dig a trench,
Oh, wow. Why not?
because they are forced to use labor-intensive construction methods. The condition ensures that the very act of building the infrastructure generates local jobs.
Oh, I see. So laying the pipe tackles poverty directly by paying local workers rather than just enriching a big firm.
Exactly. It forces job creation. But, as you can imagine, managing a localized manual labor force is way harder than just writing a check to one company.
Right, which brings us to the penalty box. So, what happens when a local municipality gets this money but fails to navigate all these complex, labor-intensive rules?
The system has these incredibly strict financial triggers built in. It's kind of ruthless, actually.
Tell me about it.
Basically, if a municipality fails to spend at least 60% of their previously transferred funds, the national government steps in.
And does what?
They can restrict, withhold, or entirely stop their cash flow. Use it or lose it.
Wait, really? So they just cut them off. That is a fascinating irony. In this system, underspending is punished just as severely as overspending.
Yeah, because from the national perspective, idle cash means a failure of delivery. If the money isn't moving, the people aren't getting the roads or the wages.
Wow. So the MIG isn't just some simple funding formula. I mean, it's this massive engine trying to drive complex social change through incredibly rigid bureaucracy.
Exactly. It uses strict financial oversight to try and guarantee social promises.
Which leaves you with a really big question to ponder. This whole system relies on local municipalities having the administrative capacity to manage complex reports and labor compliance just to unlock the money.
Right.
But what happens to the absolute poorest municipalities, the ones that lack the baseline administrative staff to even file that initial paperwork? Does heavily layered bureaucratic oversight, which is designed to prevent mismanagement, ultimately end up delaying the very services poor communities desperately need?
That's the real paradox, isn't it?
It really is. Something for you to think about the next time you hear about massive infrastructure grants. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.